Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
For the next few moments, I want to share a message with you called Eutychus, the Window in the Midnight Hour. Eutychus, the Window in the Midnight Hour. This message was really inspired by, in fact, yesterday I was at church and a man of God preached on this very chapter, chapter 20 of Acts, Acts chapter 20, and he used this passage of scripture, but he preached a whole different angle to this. So anybody who knows anything about being a minister of the gospel, if you're on here and you're a preacher of the gospel, you know that you many times you'll hear a message and the Lord will give you a message out of a message. And that's exactly what happened yesterday morning. So I want to, again, this is what the Lord gave me when I was meditating on this passage of scripture out of Acts chapter 20. And I want to share that with you today. And it's I want to give you a prophetic angle to this. There's a practical angle to this, but there, I believe, I want to show you by the help of the Holy Spirit a prophetic level of this. And it's, and that's where we've come up with this term, Eutychus, the Window in the Midnight Hour. So we want to welcome all of our audience today. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. We welcome our YouTube audience. We welcome our Facebook audience. If this is your first time joining us on either Facebook or YouTube, please inform us and let us know below. Just let us know, say I'm new to the broadcast or first time or whatever, so that we will know that you're new watching this. All right, guys, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Acts 20, verse 7. We're going to go down to verse 7 to 12, 7 through 12. And this, I'm going to read this passage of scripture, and then I'm going to dig out some prophetic stuff out of this. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the apostle Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Somebody say midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window, somebody say a window, sat a certain young man named Eutychus. Somebody say Eutychus. And I'm going to say this, say young man named Eutychus. All right, so you have the midnight hour, you have a window, and you have a young man named Eutychus. All these are going to come into play in this message, and we dig this out. Now, there's something about this man. It says the man was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down out of the window from the third story and he died. He actually fell to his death. He was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, saying, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." And now when he had come, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Now this is a profound passage here. All my life of serving the Lord, I've always heard this preached, that Paul was long-winded, that here's an individual that couldn't hang with the big boys. He was falling asleep with the message of the gospel, and thus he fell out of the window and he broke his neck and he died, and it represents a generation that is not willing to receive the word of God. So I'm going to show you a different angle to this. Okay, first of all, notice they're gathered together. The ecclesia is gathered together in the upper room. And we're going to go ahead and call this the church. The church is gathering together. The apostle Paul is exhorting them the word of God. And it says the message continued to the midnight hour. or it continued to midnight. I believe on a prophetic stance of this, I believe this is where we are prophetically. I believe the gospel, the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, and we have been progressing with the gospel. This gospel, the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So there's going to be a generation that is going to be here at the midnight hour. Now somebody say, where are we at? I believe if you had to break this into a practicality, I believe we're at 11:59. The hand is coming close to the midnight hour. Notice it said Paul continued his message until midnight. Did you know this is the mandate for us as preachers of the gospel? This is the mandate for us as carriers of the word of God. We are to continue, come on, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to continue preaching the whole counsel. We're going to continue preaching the blood. We're going to continue to preach repentance. We're going to continue to preach, come on, that there is no other name under heaven in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. So we got to continue with the gospel of Jesus Christ until the midnight hour, until the hand strikes midnight. Come on, and the trumpet is blown. Come on, and the Lord returns. The Lord returns for his glorious bride. But something I believe prophetically is happening as we are inching closer to the midnight hour, as we're inching closer to the coming of the Lord, as we're inching closer to the return of the Son of Man, to the appearance of the Messiah, to the eastern sky splitting, to come on, until that glorious day. Something is happening in the church, and I believe Eutychus represents this as a prophetic picture of this. Watch this. It says a young man named Eutychus is sinking into a deep sleep. Here's the problem, guys. We're seeing a whole generation. And I don't have to explain this to you. Many of you already know this. You can read polls. You can read surveys. You can read Pew Research. We are losing a generation. We're losing young people by the droves. We're losing young people by the multitudes. And here's what's interesting, because it says that Eutychus was a young man, and as Paul was approaching the midnight hour with the message of the gospel, that he was falling into a deep sleep. Look across the board, guys. We've got a whole generation, not just in America, but in Britain and in Australia and all across the globe, all across the world. We're seeing young people that are falling. The enemy has lured them into a deep sleep. They are falling away. They are falling into sleep. They're losing interest in the gospel. They're losing interest in the message of the cross. They're losing interest in church. They're losing interest in anything, in these things. And I'm going to show you why that is in just a second. But watch this. Notice that Eutychus was sitting at a window. A window represents a transition. In this case, a window is a transition. If I'm sitting in a room where there's a window, come on, I'm on the inside, but I can look on the outside. See, this is what many people are in church. They don't want to get all the way on the inside. They're not willing to get all the way on the outside, but they feel comfortable sitting at a window ledge. Come on. We call this lukewarmness. They want to be in, they want to be in a position where they can look on the inside and see what's going on the inside, see what's going on inside the kingdom, inside the church, and what's going on with God's people. But they want to be to a position where they can also have the convenience of looking outside, seeing what's going on the outside, what's in the world, in the culture, and going on out there. But Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I will that you be neither cold nor hot. In other words, I don't want you to be lukewarm. It's time to stop sitting on the window ledge. Stop sitting on the ledge. And how long shall you, Elijah came along and he said, how long shall you falter between two opinions? Either make the Lord your God or Baal be your God, but choose your God this day. So here we have, you have Eutychus, which represents a younger generation that I believe they have positioned themselves where they have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Come on. They, at the sway of a head, they can look to the right and see what's in the kingdom, but they can look to the left and see what's in the world, just in case. Because Eutychus could take an easy step to the left, or he could easily take a step to the right. But here's the problem. The enemy, again, is luring them asleep. Let me go to the look. Let me give you a little bit more insight on this. In Luke chapter 22, let me read this. Watch this. Now, some of you have heard me expound on this, and I don't want to get into that whole message on this, but watch this. This is Luke 22. Coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, he knelt down and began to pray. He began to go into intercession. He got down to business. Watch this. And here's what he prayed. He said, "Father, if it is thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was interceding and praying about enduring the cross. He was about to go to Calvary, and he was taking upon himself the sins of the world. And listen to verse 43. "And then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." So this was deep intercession. In verse 45, "When he rose up from prayer and come down to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" Friend, again, we can blame a lot of things. Don't misunderstand me. I believe a lot of the reasons why we're seeing a generation fall into a deep sleep is because one of the reasons is because of the atmosphere that we're dealing with today. There is so much oppression in the atmosphere. There's so much violence in the atmosphere. There's so much anxiety, worry, fear, uncertainty. I mean, look on the news. Turn on the news. You go out in public. You go here. You go there. You pick up a newspaper. You get on your face. You get on your on social media. You get on your cell phone, and it's always gloom and doom and anguish and agony and trial and tribulation and bad news and wars and rumors of wars and disasters. I mean, it's lingering. It's at every angle. There's so much division in the country. There's so much divide, and all this weighs down your spirit. It weighs down your heart. It weighs down your mind. This is why, listen, the Bible says he found them sleeping. They were in a deep sleep when they should have been praying, when they should have been interceding, when they should have been contending with the Lord. Instead, something had lured them asleep, in a deep sleep. And he says here, it was sorrow. We did a whole message on this a while back, and we preached this many times. Again, this word sorrow, again, means oppression. It means anguish. It means distress. It means worry and fear. And again, guys, this is what, look at the suicide rates in this generation. The suicide rates in this generation among young people are at unprecedented levels because of the pressures, because of the worry, the fear, the anxiety. The things that are pressing this generation are, again, causing unprecedented levels of depression, oppression, suicide, drug use, alcohol use, opioids, meth, and the list goes on and on and on. So we're losing a generation to the enemy who's come in and is cradling them to sleep. Now, we can go with all kinds of different angles on this and begin to speculate. Is it the society that's cradling to sleep? Is it the temptation of the world? Is it social media? Is it the devices? Listen, here's the bottom line, guys. The Bible says, according to, I believe it's 1 John, he says, love not the world nor the things in the world, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Guys, can I tell you something? Satan uses the same weapons, but he uses different methods. Let me say that again. He uses the same weapons he's always used, but he uses different methods. It's still the lust of the flesh, it's still the lust of the eyes, and it's still the pride of life. The same weapons he's always used, but he's using different methodologies. He's using technology to his advantage. He's using circumstances to his advantage. So as a result of this, guys, the Eutychuses of our generation are being cradled to sleep. We're losing them at the window. And by the way, this is what's interesting. The name Eutychus actually means chance or opportunity. The word, again, Eutychus in Greek here, the Greek understanding of the name Eutychus means chance or opportunity. Friends, we can look at this two different ways. We can say, oh, what a shame it is that we're losing a generation that's being cradled to sleep. Or we could seize this chance and this opportunity. Come on, this window of opportunity is open wide to us to demonstrate what Paul did. And Paul gives us the answer how to get a generation out of the window and out of the grip of Satan. You ready for this? So watch this. When the man fell out of the window and broke his neck, come on, Paul stopped the message. He put the microphone down. I know he probably didn't have a microphone, but I'm going to preach this message how I'm going to preach it. He stopped the message, put down the microphone, stepped out from the pulpit, went left the room, went downstairs three stories, opened the door. Come on, he left the 99 and went after the one that went astray. And the Bible says he prayed for the man and he was brought to life. In other words, there was a supernatural demonstration that took place that raised this man from the dead. And the Bible says, watch this, that they put him back up into the room and he finished preaching. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, when all this was said and done, I guarantee you the man no longer sat on the window. Listen, if you want to keep a generation, this is what I'm trying to tell you. A, we are at the midnight hour, friends. We are at the midnight hour. B, we're losing. Whether you can bury your head in the sand and you can deny it, you can reject it, you can ignore it, but we are losing a generation to the devil. We're losing a generation to the world. We're losing a generation right in the church. They're right in the church. Watch this. Eutychus was in the building, but he was sitting at the window. Golly, he was in the building, but he was sitting at the window. Now we're coming to the midnight hour and we're losing a generation even within the four walls of the church. Now you say, how do we gain them? How do we captivate them? How do we keep them in the church? How do we get them out of the window and get them back in the seat? I'm going to tell you, the answer is in Paul's demonstration. Golly, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. Number one, Paul didn't care about numbers. He was more concerned about the one than he was the 99. Let me say it again. He was more concerned about the one than he was the 99. Paul could have said, yeah, you know what? We lost another one. Another one bites the dust. Well, you know, it happens. He shouldn't have been on the window ledge. He should have been paying attention. He should have been prayed up. He should have been in the pew. He should have been in the chair and not on the window ledge. No. Paul stopped everything. He said, listen, guys, we're going to stop the message right here. Push pause on the message because I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to move through me and raise him from the dead. And that gets me to my second point. Number one, let me watch this. If we want to know what the remedy is, come on, to keep a generation alerted, keep them in the church, keep them red hot. Keep them in the work of the Lord. Keep them in the, come on, in the church. Keep them excited about the things of God. Number one, we got to let them know that we care about them. Come on, somebody. It says he fell out the window. What? How do you respond when a brother or a sister falls? When they're one day they're up in the Lord and the next day they fall. Come on, they fall into sin. They fall into a transgression. They fall into an iniquity. They fall into something. Come on, are you going to leave them and just keep doing what you're doing? Come on, keep preaching. Keep doing Facebook Lives. Keeping your platform growing. Keeping your recognition going. Keeping the accolades going. Keeping the money flowing. Because after all, you've got to keep doing it. Or are you going to be like Paul and say, come on, I'm going to leave the 99 and go after the one. Here's what it says in the book of Galatians. Let me just read this in Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, in other words, if a man falls, if anyone falls, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, bear them up. Come on, go to where Paul, listen to this. Paul was up here, but he chose to step down. He was on the third floor. He was three stories up, and he chose to go down to the level of where the man fell to lift him back up. Come on, are you willing to get your feet dirty? Are you willing to get your hands dirty? Are you willing to get some stains on your garments? Are you willing to lose your reputation to leave the high place, the hierarchy, the good seats, your good position, to take the title? Come on, your position away. Come on, take the name tag out. Take the name position away. Take the accolades away. Take the spotlight away. Are you willing to step out from the pulpit, step out from the ministry for just a moment and go to where they are? You may have to go to a drug house. You may have to go to a rehabilitation center. You may have to go to, come on, to the projects in downtown. You may have to go and visit them in a jail cell. You may have to go to a nursing home. You might have to go to a psych ward. You may have to go to some places that you didn't really want to go to and talk to some people you really don't want to talk to. And you may have to do some things you really don't want to do. But friends, is it worth it to lift up the one who's went astray? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you want to win a generation, they want what's real. They want what's authentic. And that leads me to the second thing. And Paul didn't go down there and come on. He didn't go down there and pat him on the back. And he didn't go down there and beg God. He went down there and said, in the name of Jesus, I command your spirit to come back into your lifeless body, because he understood what Jesus told him, what he commanded him, and what he commissioned him to do. And that was to what? Preach the gospel into all the world. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, cast out devils. And he said, and you shall raise the dead. And Paul went down there and he demonstrated the supernatural power of God. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to captivate a generation, let them see the supernatural of God. Let them see signs and wonders and miracles. Let them see healing. Let them see demonstration. Paul, come on, this was the same guy that said the preaching of the gospel came not by enticing words of wisdom of men, he said, but it came through the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Friends, I don't know about you. I'm tired of church games. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of the rigmarole. I am ready for power, demonstration, and signs and wonders. And that, my friends, is how you're going to captivate a generation. That's how you're going to get them off from the window ledge right into the front row and right there paying attention and have their attention right on the Word of God. Why? Because they've seen God in action. They've seen the demonstration. No doubt this man, I know the Bible doesn't elaborate on this, but I'm going to tell you something. You fall out a window three stories, break your neck and die, and a man of God raise you from the dead and set your butt back in the pew so you can finish the message. I'm going to tell you something. If there wasn't a revival yet, it came after that situation, because you let that happen in the church today, man, I'm telling you, the whole town will come out and hear what you got to say. You want somebody to hear what you got to say? You start doing what Jesus told you to do. You start believing him. You say, well, brother, I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to cast out devils. Then you keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking, and it shall be given to you. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. God just don't show up in a church and demonstrate the miraculous just because you're there. The Bible says he fills those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says to covet the gifts. I don't know how bad you want to hear this, but the word covet there in the Greek context of that is lust. It actually means to lust. We are to lust after the gifts. We are to so desire these gifts. Why? So we can play show and tell, so that we can get puffed up, so that we can build our ministry, we can build our platform, we can get our name in the lights. No, that's not why. So that we can be used as a vessel like Paul did. And when the opportunity arises, we can allow Jesus to work through us, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been in the church and how less long you've been in the church. Come on, it is available to every believer that is listening under the sound of my voice. I'm trying to tell you, friends, that there is an assignment of hell. There's an assignment from Satan. As we get closer to the midnight hour, friends, the world is shaking through seismic activity. There's plagues, there's pestilence, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's the falling away is gripping the church. Come on, apostasy is rampant. We're seeing all the signs of the coming of the Lord. And as we edge closer to the last grains of the hourglass, it's falling through the hourglass. The big arm of the clock is going closer to the midnight hour. The enemy has an assignment to lure a generation to sleep. He's luring them to a deep sleep so that they are numb and dumb and cannot fulfill what he's called them to fulfill. But friends, where is the apostle Paul's in this generation that are willing to chase them, that are willing to not give up on them, that are willing to go where they are so that you can raise them up, mentor them, pour out into them, exhort them, edify them, encourage them, equip them, and raise them up to be the next generation? Where are the Apostle Pauls that are sick of church as usual, sick of religion, and are ready to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles? Come on, can I get an amen, somebody, from the church today? So if you're watching this today, and your spirit bears witness with this today, and maybe the Lord is dealing with you. The Spirit of God is tugging at your heart. The Spirit of God is pulling at your heartstrings. He's pulling in your spirit. And you say, I want to be one of those individuals. Maybe you're watching this and you're saying, my God, Pastor Ricky, I'm one of the Eutyches. The Eutychus. I'm a Eutychus. I was burning. I was on fire for the Lord. I was walking with the Lord. I had a relationship with the Lord. I was abiding with the Lord. But I found myself comfortable sitting at the window. I've been comfortable sitting at the window. I'm not really fully in, but I'm not fully out. I'm just comfortable sitting at the window, looking in both ends. I like the look of inside the church and knowing that I can step 1 foot down from the ledge and get right into the seat. But I also like being close to the ledge and like getting out there into the world on occasion and doing what I used to do. Friends, that's called lukewarmness. That's called riding the fence, the old timers used to say. And if you want to know how Jesus feels about that, you can read that in the book of Revelation. He says, you make me sick. You make me want to spew you out of my mouth. But friends, I've got good news for you. You don't have to stay on the window ledge. Come on, don't wait till you fall down. Don't wait till the enemy rocks you asleep. Don't wait till you have to get to a situation where a man of God has to leave his post and go down and pull you up and get you back in position. Don't wait to that. Come on, step down from the ledge. Step down from the ledge of lukewarmness. Step down from the ledge of compromise and get into your rightful position as a son and daughter of the Most High and walk out your calling. Some of you, that's you right now. Come on, the Lord is calling you back into your position. He's calling you back into the church, back into the kingdom, back into your calling, back into your destiny. Come on, just don't resist him. Just yield to the Holy Ghost today. Father, just I'm asking Holy Ghost that you would arrest these individuals by your spirit. Draw them by your spirit. Draw them in by your power into the rightful place, into the kingdom. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're drawing them in. We don't care how high the ledge is. There's not a mountain, Lord, that you can't reach and a valley that you can't get to, that you can't pull us out and take us down. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're putting, but David said this, he said, he pulled me out of the miry clay and he set my feet upon the rock and he established my goings. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you're doing this for somebody today. Somebody's watching this today, and maybe the Lord is calling you. You feel like maybe you're not the Eutychus, but maybe you feel like the Lord is dealing with you to be an Apostle Paul to the next generation. I don't care how big your church is, how little your church is. I don't care how insignificant you think your church is, your ministry group, your cell group, your home group, whatever this, your influence, whatever it is, friends. You may be a Timothy to somebody. You may be a Paul to somebody who's a Timothy. You're a Paul to a Timothy. You're an older generation to a younger generation. What are you going to do? Are you willing to be as the Apostle Paul? Are you willing to step down? Step down from your position. Step down from your high place. Step down from your title. Step down from your authority and go where they are and get your willing to get your hands dirty. To lift them back up, raise them back up, restore them back into the fold, into the rightful position. And watch this. Are you willing? I don't care what your denomination teaches. I care about what this word says. If Jesus commanded me to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils and preach the gospel, then you know what? I am going to be obedient to what he says. And you may be listening to this and you say, well, I believe it, but I'm not seeing it demonstrated in my life. Then it's time to begin to pray and fast and believe God for the supernatural to begin to work through your life. Friends, can I tell you a secret? The Lord desires for you to be used in the supernatural more than you desire to be used in the supernatural. Let me say that again. The Lord desires more so that you be used in the supernatural more than you desire to be used in the supernatural. This is what you were born for. This is what you were created for. This is what's going to turn your church upside down, your region upside down, your home upside down, your city upside down, the nation upside down for the glory of God. Why? Because, friends, I'm going to tell you something. When you start seeing the supernatural of God being manifested and being demonstrated, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got to do much pleading. You ain't got to do much manipulating. You ain't got to do much convincing, because through the signs, wonders, and miracles, come on, even the hardened of hearts will begin, come on, to run and embrace the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these individuals under the sound of my voice. I'm asking, Lord, that you would begin to use them. Lord, if they're born again, if their blood-bought names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm asking that you'd begin right now while their hands are lifted, baptize them even now in the Holy Spirit. Begin to baptize them in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the dunamis, in the power. Lord, you said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, empower them to be witnesses to everywhere that you've appointed their feet to walk upon, to tread upon, and to go, coming in and going out. I'm asking God that they begin to walk, operate, and function in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, to those in whom the Holy Spirit wills those that he would disperse it to. Lord, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, all these gifts, Lord God, may you begin to release them upon your church, upon your ecclesia, upon your body, Lord, right now. Why? Because, Lord, we need these to be operating in our lives, to be able to perform and carry out the Great Commission. And Lord, we want to set an example as the Apostle Paul's to one generation, to the Timothy of the next generation, or should I say the Eutychuses that are on that window ledge. Lord, may we seize the opportunity, the chance that we have. Lord, we can look at the darkness, the gloom and doom, the failures and the falls. We can dwell on that, or we can seize the window of opportunity and seize this moment to step in and do and complete that which you began and finished. Because the hour is drawing near, as we're getting close to hit that midnight hour. Father, it's your will that none perish, but all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Come on, and all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, I pray and hope that this message has been a blessing to you. I believe some folks got touched today. I believe some folks got equipped today. I believe people got encouraged today. I pray that it shakes something up on the inside of you. It rekindles a flame in you. It rekindles a passion in you, a fire in you. Remember, guys, you never know that you may be a Paul to somebody. You may be a Paul to a Timothy. You may be a Paul to a Eutychus. And they're looking. And I know it looks like we've lost a generation, but I'm going to tell you, there's a generation out there that's hungry, and they're looking for the real deal. They're looking for power, demonstration, signs, wonders, love, mercy, grace. They're looking for correction. They're looking for truth. They are looking for it. They're hungry for it, and they want it, and they desire it, friends. So come on, let's not let them down, but let's just rise up, draw a plumb line in the sand, make our face like flint, and begin to do what God has called us to do in Jesus' name. Guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you can find us. That's where you can subscribe to us. That's where you can get push notifications. You can get email, our email digest. It comes once a day in your inbox. You can go to remnantrevival.org. You can go to endtimeheadlines.org. Facebook, YouTube, you can follow us there, Facebook Live. There's a link right there underneath. You can click on that. That's where you can subscribe to us. That's where you can also support us if the Lord puts it on your heart. If this ministry is a blessing to you, it's a source of encouragement, edification. It's a source of information, and you desire to, and the Lord has put it on your heart to partner with us. Either a one-time gift, a monthly partnership, whatever the case may be, we want to encourage you to come on board and be obedient to the Holy Ghost. And you could do that right there by that link underneath there on Facebook Live. You guys on YouTube, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find all the information on how you can partner and support this ministry if it's a continual blessing in your life. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time out today to join us on this special message. We will see you guys likely on Wednesday. God bless.